Great music, you guys. You know, when I was ministering here, I always wondered what it'd be like if we could get you guys to one of those music conferences. And we just never could do it. We didn't have the resources or whatever, but I'm so glad that that finally...
We are very glad.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
And you guys are going to learn lots of new music.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be back with you. It's been a while since I've been up here. Really good to see you. I don't know about you, but do you ever do what I call spinning at night, where you can't get to sleep because there's so much going on in your brain? No, I know it doesn't impact any of you at all. Well, some nights I find myself wondering weird and strange things. My mind says, what about this and what about that? And these are not earth-shattering things, but they're things you worry about at 2 o'clock in the morning. Have you ever wondered why sheep don't shrink when it rains? My wool sweater does, but I don't know how they luck out in that. I was wondering the other night why doctors call what they do practice. You ever wonder that, Gary? Yeah, yeah. Sure do. And the guy that invests your money, I've always wondered why they call them brokers. And we live in an apartment, and I've always wondered why apartments are called apartments when they're all stuck together. Or why, if con is the opposite of pro, is Congress the opposite of progress? The jury's still out on that one. And why the airport is called the terminal, if flying is supposed to be so safe. I've always wondered about that. Maybe I'm an exception to the rule, but I don't think so. I think we come into this world wondering, don't you? I mean, it's our favorite thing to do as a child. I remember when I would call my aunt, who lived in New York State, in Rochester, and as a child, and I'd always simply, I'd ask a whole bunch of questions. Silly, dumb questions, I think now, but then they were very important to me. And she said, well, I have to go, dear. And I'd say, just one more thing. Just one more thing I want to ask you. We used to irritate the hell out of our parents, I think, asking them questions like, why is the sky blue? And why does the clock say this time? And is it really this time if the clock says so? You know, and questions like that. Or why can't pigs fly? Well, if you've been to Ferris High School for Ham on Regal, you get the answer to that question this year. When I was told by my oncologist that there was nothing more they could do for me and that I needed to get my affairs in order and I probably had 6 weeks to 6 months left, I wondered about that. I really did. I started to wonder about dying. What was it like to die? Is it safe? Does it hurt? Do you go through this long tunnel of light? Like you see, you know, everybody says, I've gone through this long tunnel of light. I wondered, is that what happens? Do you reincarnate back immediately, or do you have to spend eternity plunking your heart on lying on a cloud or something like that? I wondered about these things. What was it going to be like? There were three people who were talking after a memorial service. One of their friends had passed away, and they were talking, and one said, "What would you like people to say about you when you have passed away?" And the first one said, "Well, I've been a doctor. I've been practicing for a long period of time. And I think I've done a really good job, and I would like people to say, this was a fantastic doctor." And the second woman said, "Well, I've raised four children, and I think I've done a really great job with them, and they've all grown up, and I'm proud of them, and I'd like people to say, she was a great mother." And they looked at the third guy and said, "What would you like people to say about you?" And he said, "I'd like them to say, hey, still moving." I wondered about that. At the very moment, though, that I was wondering about my fate, there were a group of researchers and scientists in Atlanta, Georgia, who were wondering too. They were wondering about cancer. And they said, "What if instead of trying to kill cancer, we simply simulated the body's own natural immune system, stimulated it, so that it could do the job of taking care of the cancer? What if we put this drug with that drug? I wonder what would happen." Well, they wondered and they tried it out, and it's the same cancer that Gary and I both have been through, and we both taken this stuff, and here we are today. Gary's into some other stuff, but we won't go into that. All because somebody wondered. Somebody said, what if we did this? What would happen? What might occur under these circumstances? All because somebody got curious and wondered out loud. Things that benefit so many people have happened. You know, curiosity does not kill the cat. The cat has 9 lives because of curiosity. And so do we. I think curiosity saved our lives, Gary. I really do. And I think it's continuing. I think aren't you still wondering about a few things? What he's going to say next Sunday or whatever. I have a few unanswered questions still on my agenda. Like climate change. When is it going to stop snowing around here? And will we ever do anything about climate change to save the planet? I wonder, don't you? And I have a few serious questions about our government, too, but that's a whole other subject. I wonder about that. Stay tuned. I wonder what Gary and Jane have in store for this ministry in the days and months and years ahead. Exciting things. I'm curious to know what they are.
Sorry.
I wonder, when am I ever going to finish this book that I keep telling people I'm writing? You know? I wonder what I'm going to teach next. I wonder where I'm going to travel next. I wonder what more amazing things can come out of this woman I'm married to than I already have experienced in my life. That, this is what keeps me going. And if you want to keep going, you need to wonder too. It was G.K. Chesterton who said, we should always endeavor to wonder at the permanent thing, not the mere exception. We should be startled by the sun, not by the eclipse. We should wonder less at the earthquake and more at the earth. Think about your life right now. Those of you who are in a job, are you still curious about what it is you do and what you could learn from your job and what might you do to tweak it or make it better? If you're not curious about the work that you've been doing, you need to get out of that work and do something else. And what about your relationships? Are you still curious about the people that live with you in your house, about what's in store for them and what they think about and dream about and where they're going and what other potential they have within them? Are you still thinking about that and the relationship that you have with them? Is there more to learn in this relationship that you're in? If there isn't, then maybe you better think about changing relationships. Right now, one of the things I'm doing that I'm excited about is I'm teaching an online class for Unity Worldwide Spiritual Institute, and I'm teaching an old Unity book called The 12 Powers of Man by Charles Fillmore. It was written back in 1930, even before I was born. And I studied this book in ministerial school, and I thought I'd learned it, but then I started to wonder when they asked me to teach this course if there was anything new I could learn about the 12 powers of man. And boy, I tell you, I didn't know diddly squat about 12 powers of man until I got into this course. Not only am I learning more about them, I'm learning them and incorporating more of them into my life because I'm asking questions about that. My students are asking questions. What does this mean? And how is it working for you, David, in your life? Now I have a more up close and personal relationship with these powers. And I found that more people are interested in these powers too. I'm in a spirit group and we're guess what we're studying? The 12 powers of man. Some of you saw the movie that James Twyman made that was shown here. Every week I discover a new book about the 12 powers of man. There's a renaissance of this going on. And when Don and I were at Unity Village last year, and you probably saw this, Tara, there's this Unity Garden, prayer garden around the tower, and it's got 12 beautiful pieces of sculpture, each one representing, guess what, one of the 12 powers of man, and they're magnificent. If you get a chance, go to Unity Village and see these. The book that I keep threatening to write is, the working title is, but wait, there's more. And that is even meaning more to me than when I first thought about that particular title. The universe is continually saying that, calling this out to you and saying, but wait, don't stop, don't give up, don't stop growing or learning or wondering, because there is more. Jesus, one of his great teachings is ask, seek, knock, because there is so much more. Eye has not seen nor ear heard the good that God has in store for each one of us. And he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, they shall be satisfied. Made me think of the most interesting man in the world, ads that are on. And he says, "Stay thirsty, my friend." And that's not about, I don't take it as imbibing, but I take it about, I hunger and thirst for more. I want to know the answers. I want to know what's around the next hill. I want to go back to Muir Woods again and just be there and feel it again and experience something new. Curiosity is anything that takes you out of the zone of I know it all and into the zone of, you know, I wonder about that. I wonder if that's really true. When's the last time you questioned your beliefs, your belief system, the BS that Gary talks about? Many of you are familiar with the teachings of Byron Katie, and that's one of her important things that she says, question your beliefs. Question what you think. Is it really true? Is it absolutely, do you know 100% that it's true? And if not, keep asking, keep wondering about this thing. Don't ever abandon this thing called curiosity. The moment when things stop getting easy or rewarding, that's the moment when interesting happens. And that's the realm that you and I need to continue to live in. Remember that guy on Laugh-In who'd part the leaves and he'd say, "Very interesting." Well, that is what we need to continue to do, to be very interested in life. I was thinking of John F. Kennedy's speech, his inauguration speech, and he was talking about dreamers and wanderers, not wanderers, but wanderers. And he said, the problems of the world cannot possibly be solved by skeptics or cynics whose horizons are limited by the obvious realities around us. We need people who can dream of things that never were and ask, why not? Why not? What's stopping us? You know, I was reading about Walt Disney the other day. Did you know that he was fired by a newspaper editor because he didn't have any ideas? I thought that was a hoot. He went bankrupt several times before he built Disneyland. His last project before he passed away at Disneyland was the Pirates of the Caribbean. How many of you have been on the Pirates of the Caribbean? Most of you, yeah. Well, he was touring the Pirates one day, the exhibit, and he said, there's something not quite right here. There's something missing. I can't put my finger on it, but I wonder what it might be. There's something that we haven't done here. And so he called together all the employees he could find around there, even the maintenance crew, and everybody got together and he said, I need to have you take the ride and tell me what you feel. And is there something missing? Does it look right? Does it sound right? Does it feel right? Does it smell right? And they all agreed, yeah, it does. It looks like it is all fine in those respects, but yet there is something missing, said Disney. What is it? And finally, one of the men who was in the maintenance crew, sweeping floors, he said, sir, I think I know something that strikes me that maybe we need to take a look at. And Disney said, what is it? And he said, well, I grew up in the South, and it strikes me that on a summer night like this, there ought to be lightning bugs. Lightning bugs. And Disney's face lit up, and he said, oh, that's it, that's it. And so the young man was given a bonus. He was encouraged and got a new position in the company, and Disney actually imported live lightning bugs initially until he could figure out how to do it electronically and technologically. But if you've seen pictures of the inside there, there are lightning bugs in there, and that really brings it alive. Disney once said, he said, around here, however, we don't look backwards for very long. We keep moving forward, opening up new doors and doing new things because we're curious. And curiosity keeps leading us down new paths. Isn't that what Disneyland and Disney World are all about? They're about inspiring, especially in children, keeping that curiosity alive, that childlike wonder. But I still like to go there too and experience it from new. And I haven't seen Harry Potter. How many of you have seen the Harry Potter stuff? Some of you have. I'm looking forward to that someday. Childlike wonder is one of the great keys to life. Not only for living longer, but living deeper and richer and fuller. And if you carry that wonder into your adult life, you will always be a creative person, and it just may keep you alive. It just might save your life. I call curiosity what-ifing. What-ifing. What if? What if this? What if that? Now, you can what-if down, and you can what-if up, right? What if it never stops snowing out here? What if the sun has gone somewhere on a vacation? What if the house doesn't sell? What if I get sick? Or what if I lose my job? Or, you know, we spend some sleepless nights what-ifing down. But you can also what-if up. What if I get a new house? What if I get a new job? What if we have the most beautiful spring we have ever had? What if I meet someone new today or tomorrow? What if? What-ifing up is much more fun, I think. It was Abraham Maslow, the great psychologist, who considered fascination to be the ultimate spiritual experience. Think about that. The ultimate spiritual experience that you can have on planet Earth is to be fascinated by it. To be fascinated by what's going on in your body, by fascinated what's going on in your world, by the people that you connect with. Why did you come here this morning? You came because you're fascinated to find out more stuff about you and about the universe and the fact that there's nothing and no one against you. And you're still wondering about that? And is Gary telling the truth when he says that? And, you know? And if I still have some exceptions, I wonder why I still have those exceptions. So that's what keeps us alive. Maslow says, we need the kind of fascination that propels our enthusiasm for the quest, for the hunt, for the mindset of wonder. It was Vladimir Nabokov who once said, let us worship the spine and its tingle. When's the last time you had tingling go up and down your spine? That's when you get excited about something. That's when you get a new aha. That's when something magical and marvelous happens in your life. And that's one thing that Charles Fillmore said is that the spine is connected to, up here to the crown chakra, and you know, that's where it all starts. And when things get exciting, and when you get excited, when you get curious, life says, ta-da, here's a new experience for you. Here's a new way of looking at things. Because, you know, it's so easy for us to become adult-rated. You know what I mean? So grown up, so full of it, so full of useless knowledge that we say, I know everything I need to know, and there's nothing more that I need to know, so I'm just going to sit and watch mindless television for the next 40 years of my life. Because there's nothing more to learn. There's nothing more for me to discover about me or about you or about life in general. And we become spoiled to the world. And we lose that attitude of youthfulness. And when we lose that, the laws of gravity begin to take over. Our arteries harden, and we start to decay. You know, it's not an accident. The word gravity and the word grave are from the same French word, which means heavy. And if you're finding your life getting heavy, it's time to lighten up. And I know, Britt, you were talking about gravity in the first service. You know what the opposite of gravity is? Levity. Yeah. So we need more levity in our lives. We need to lift ourselves up. And the only way I know is to wonder. Wonder about a lot of things. A grown-up often just becomes the husk left over after childhood. A shell of a person with nothing left to live for, nothing left to die for. Remember the astronomer Carl Sagan? He used to say billions and billions of things are going on in the universe. And they once asked him about the difference between teaching science and astronomy to kindergartners versus teaching it to high schoolers. And he said, there's quite a difference. He said, the kindergartners were curious. They had all sorts of questions. They wanted to know about this and about that and everything else. And they were endlessly enthusiastic, natural-born scientists, he called them. And they never had heard of something called a dumb question. Whereas high schoolers, he said, were jaded. The joy of discovery and the sense of wonder had largely gone from them, and they were terrified that they might ask a dumb question. There are no dumb questions to a kindergartner. They may be dumb to the adult who was listening to them, but not to the child. That's why Albert Einstein was such an amazing man. He said the important thing is to not stop questioning. Curiosity has its own reason for existence. One cannot help but be in awe when he contemplates the mysteries of eternity, of life, and of the marvelous structure of all reality. It is enough if one tries merely to comprehend a little of this mystery every day. We still have a little more time left in this day for you to contemplate the mysteries of you, of me, of life, of the world around you, whatever it is you want to wonder about. And I encourage you to do that. Do you remember the movie Fahrenheit 451? Remember that movie? I think Ray Bradbury was the author of that particular book. And it was a book about burning something. What is it they were burning in that movie? Books. They were burning all the books. And apparently 451 degrees Fahrenheit is the temperature at which books burn. And the powers that be decided that we're going to get rid of all the books because we don't want people to get curious anymore about life. We wanted them just to become robots and be programmed, and we didn't want them asking dumb questions about life or about us or about anything else. So they had these big book-burning ceremonies. But people were still curious. And so what happened, as you know in the movie, each individual became a book and memorized and took that book as their own, and until the place where they knew the book backwards and forwards, and anyone could go up and reference that person, just ask them about what their subject was, and they could go into their book and get the answer. And that's the power of curiosity. It will not be burned. It will not be denied. Bradbury, one of the characters in the book, says, "I hate that Roman who was called status quo." He said, "Stuff your eyes with wonder. Live as if you drop dead in 10 seconds. See the world in a new way. It's more fantastic than any dream or any thing that's paid for in the world. Ask for no guarantees, because there is no guarantee and no security." So all I have to say to you this morning, my friends, is stay thirsty. God bless you.